What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Javier. All right, so we're going to be diving into storytelling. And if you've been listening to a lot of my episodes, podcasts, there's a few things that I'm a big proponent about that I love doing. Number one, it's copywriting. Copywriting is one of those things that I truly enjoy. I don't necessarily like ooze copy out of my brain. This is a skill that I developed over the past 20 years almost of just writing and just being consistently writing on a regular basis. Another thing that I've really been buying into for the past, let's say, 5, 6, 7, almost maybe 10 years maybe, is telling stories.
So you're probably asking yourself, how to successfully grow a facility management company in today's digital age while still remaining profitable? You know that marketing should probably be in the mix, but you may not know the best approach, the newest strategies, or which digital platforms to market on. So how do you use marketing to grow your FM business today? That is a question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Javier Lozano Jr., and welcome to the Facility Management Marketing Podcast.
And I didn't realize that I always told stories whenever I was running a business, and I always told stories to my clients, to my students at all times. And so if you're not familiar, I used to run a martial arts and personal training studio, and so I'd tell stories to my students about different things and whatever. Lo and behold, I didn't, you know, as I got better at this whole marketing game and I improved, I basically did it almost like first nature. And then I started learning the concepts of stories and I kind of structure. So I'm going to tell you a quick little story here, and I'm going to kind of, you know, tie it to facilities and property management, but it's, you're going to be like, well, how am I going to use this story to help me? Like, you can make a story out of anything, okay? Just kind of keep that in mind, that even what you consider as like, hey, this is lame, this is not exciting, you can make a story out of almost anything that you want, all right? And it can be a short story, it can be a long story, it can be whatever. So we all know who this guy name is. His name is The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson. We all know him as The Rock. I personally love Dwayne Johnson. I love his brand. I love what he does. He's hysterical. In not a funny way, like he makes very good movies. He's very down to earth. Like, I follow him on Instagram. There's a few things I do miss, but still, like, he's a relatively pretty solid dude. All right, I'm taking a swig of water. So he built a brand, a tequila business. He built a tequila business that's worth $4 billion. Okay, and you might be thinking, you know, how did he do this? He kind of built it on his personal brand. And how he did it was kind of like a master class to storytelling. And so I'm going to break this down. So just think about this. Like, you can do this, especially if you're kind of a brand in the facility and property space. Like, people know you because you might be the CEO and you've been around for a while. Or you might be like the VP of sales, or you might be some sort of, a dude that's been around the block, or female that's been around the block as far as like, you know, in the facility space, building and winning and just doing innovative things. Like, you might be that person. And so some quick stats about The Rock. His acting career in 1 year made him about $1.3 billion, right? He was the youngest world champion wrestler. He wrote a New York Times bestseller, and he won a college football national championship. Now, he's risking quite a bit of money into a new venture, into tequila, all right? And you're like, well, he has a lot of money, you know, whatever. Like, he's going to be fine. No, no. The Rock built his brand on being, you know, like being for the people. And so he wants to bring people together around his favorite kind of drink, which is tequila. And so the business is a big part or a big bet for The Rock because it's not easy. He could fail and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes with this. So let me kind of explain this, all right? So The Rock basically needed to beat out about 1,500 plus tequila brands, okay? So again, you might be thinking, well, he's The Rock. He has a lot of money. Okay, well, his advantage is that, yeah, he has a personal and a powerful personal brand, right? But that can only get you so far because 15 other celebrities have tried to do the same thing using their personal brand to make tequila, and they failed. Okay, so now you've got 1,500 plus tequila brands out there that The Rock is going to try to essentially beat. And these are brands that have been established. Cuervo, Don Pedro, Suauza, like all of these. And there's bigger ones that I don't even know about. Okay. The only other actor to actually do very, very well in the tequila business was George Clooney. And he successfully was able to sell Casamigos for $1.3 billion in 2017. No one else has been able to actually build a tequila brand from the bottom up. Yes, I know that he has money. So does George, even before all this. But 15 other celebrities tried to do the same thing and they all failed. So your odds aren't very strong, right? So what makes his tequila brand, which is called Teremana, different from the 15 other celebrity tequilas? The Rock's emphasis is on storytelling. And so people are emotionally persuaded to buy when they're mostly persuaded to buy than if they have to be convinced logically. So emotions play a big piece to all this. And so stories packaged together with good emotions can make customers easily understand you. And so The Rock beats out other brands by making Teremana the people's tequila. That is like their slogan. I'm like looking at it right now. It's their slogan, the people's tequila. So all of a sudden, you've got The Rock, you've got his brand, you've got how he kind of like is the people's, he's like the people's choice. I think that was part of his wrestling thing, to be quite honest. And he probably kind of went with like the people's tequila. That's it. So the people's tequila is in each part of Teremana. All right. So first is aspiration. The tequila brings people together. Okay. Because when you're drinking good tequila and you don't want to drink it alone, you're going to be drinking it with somebody else, with a friend, with family. And then the execution, you get high quality at a low price. So you're getting the best agave possible from Mexico to get you high quality, but at a very reasonable price, tequila. And so then the marketing, and then you lean on The Rock. So what he does is that he has a weekly drink with you on Instagram Live. Kind of interesting. I didn't know this. Like, I'm reading this post right now. I'm like, that's really fucking cool. Like, he's drinking tequila with you once a week to essentially drink with the people. And I guess he's probably sharing stuff and people are asking him questions. It's probably some sort of, you know, AMA kind of thing. So this makes Teremana wanted by the people and it makes it accessible. Okay, so get this. Teremana broke sales records with their storytelling. They were able to sell about 300,000 cases in 1 year and are on track to sell over 1 million. Okay, 300,000. So for context, George Clooney, who had sold his business, Casamigos, in 2017, had only sold 170,000 cases. He basically, The Rock, was able to almost double what George Clooney did in 2017. All right? And he's doing this with telling stories. He understands the power of story. And so Teremana broke sales. Broke sales records with their storytelling. And they told... Oh, I'm sorry. I already said that. Sorry. And then, so how to build the brand around the customer story like The Rock. So this is what you need to do. You need to do three things. You need to know your customer. You need to write your brand's story. And then you need to tell the story in your marketing. Those are three things that you need to do. So I'm going to explain this. And then we're going to break this down into facilities, okay? I'm using this story to help you understand. All right, so one. You got to write down your target customer. So for Teremana, their demographic was anyone that was making anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000 in income. That basically means that it's middle class. It's for everybody. Pain points. These people that enjoy tequila, they don't want to be drinking Cuervo because that's shit, like in a plastic bottle. They want to drink some good stuff. So they want good tequila that's not too expensive, but they could also share with everyone else. And the goals, they want great taste and affordability to have a good time. That's kind of what their demographic, their target audience is, okay? Get this so far? And then they, you know, write their brand story. So this story is about the customer. So they make the hero, their problem is the villain. So let me rephrase this again. So this is about the customer. So by making the customer the hero, their problem is the villain, and you are the guide who will give them a plan to overcome their pain. So this is kind of what I mean. Let's just kind of, you know, regroup on this. When you tell your brand's story, or your facility story, you always want to position your customer as the hero. Always. Always position them as the hero. And the problem that they're facing, that should be the villain. So in this tequila, the villain is overpriced tequila, right? Overpriced tequila or shitty quality tequila. That could be another villain. So that's what they're using. But you pick one. And I've talked about this in a previous episode, but you're going to think about this, all right? And then you come in as the guide. You come in of like, hey, I can get you high quality tequila at a very, very fair price. And all of a sudden, people are going to be like, your customer will be like, are you serious? So then this person buys the tequila, has a party at their house. And when they're having a party, people are like, man, this tequila is amazing. This margaritas are amazing. Like, this is killer. Who's the hero now? You are, because you bought amazing tequila and you shared it with everybody else to make, you know, some bomb ass margaritas. And so when you structure your story and understand the power of story, when you structure your business around this whole storytelling, what happens is that your brand starts kind of like going to new levels. And so I'm going to give you 7 steps on how to build like your facility or property management story, all right? Just using the ROCKS model. So 7 steps. I've talked about this in different ways, all right? So first one is that you get to find a hero, which is your customer. So you get to define who your customer is going to be. All right. And so a lot of times when people see this, they always want to make their company the hero. The hero never gets the recognition. It's the guide. Don't believe me? Who gets recognition, Luke or Yoda? Well, we all know that Yoda gets recognition, right? And then now the new series of this, the new 3-part series with Rey in it. Who was the hero in there? It was Rey. And who was the guide? It was Luke. Luke now played the guide to Rey. And we all wanted to see Luke because of like we saw a glimpse of him. And he showed up a little bit and we're like, holy shit, he was like Yoda. So understand that when you position yourself as the guide, very, very, it's a better position. You want to position your customer as the hero. Your customer, as a facility manager, wants to find the right service provider that's going to help them manage their facilities across the country or in a region or in a state or whatever that is. So your customer doesn't want to look like a dipshit investing all this money and then shit's still breaking and no one's going out to get things fixed and people are upset and you're wasting all this money and their job's on the line. Like, no one wants that. Does this make sense so far? So positioning your customer as a hero is critical. Always make them the hero. Number 2, there is always a problem that needs to be solved. And so you want to basically position your solution, what you're going to be offering, to be what's going to solve that. So pain your solution solves. Look, pain that your solution solves, okay? So your customer, your facility manager has certain pains that you know of. And you've got to be like, okay, this is what you're going through. And you know, I totally understand. And make them feel it. Agitate the shit out of it. Bring it out. Like, don't be like, you know, oh, we don't want to be negative. No, no, no. You better be negative. Do you think the dark side was not negative? Like, in the original Star Wars, like, that was, the whole thing was about that. Okay, so understand that you've got to agitate this pain, all right? Number 3, This is where your brand, your facility, your property company comes in, and you become the guide. Okay? And so when you become the guide, the hero, the customer meets you. They find you on social media, on LinkedIn, they find you on search, or they find you at a conference, or they find you in an event. They start talking to you, they're like, holy shit, this guy really understands me, or this gal really understands me. You get my pain points, I need you to help me. You position yourself as the guide, and you just say, hey, yeah, we understand, like, we've seen this before, this is what a lot of our customers experience, this is how you want to, like, position yourself, that sort of stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you, as the guide, then give your customer, your hero, a plan. That's your offer. And you're like, all right, this is how we're going to fix your problem. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. You're going to do this. All right. When you do this thing, that's going to be the first step. So we need to set up a discovery call because I need to figure out exactly how many, you know, units, you know, locations you've got and how many units you have and what your exact problems are. But like, let's figure this out. Get it dialed in. And then, you know, the next thing is that after we do that, you know, we do this next thing. And then the last thing is then we just start executing. And you give them a plan that's only three steps at max four. Okay? So when you do this, what this does is that it makes the customer, the hero, be like, oh, this is not as bad as it probably is. And so here's an example. So right now we're in the middle of handling my wife's estate from her parents. So we have to do an estate sale. We have a lot of stuff that we need to sell. And it's taken us almost a full year to essentially throw away three rollout bins of 35 yards roughly long of trash. Four. Okay? And it's been a process. And so we are now, like, literally, as I say this, about 4 weeks away from having an estate sale. It's going to be an auction. And so this person that we're hiring essentially gave us a plan how to make this thing work. Now, he didn't give us like a three-step plan, but he said, this is how I do this. I do this, I do this, I do this. And then all of a sudden, we just cut you a check and you're good to go. I'm like, well, fuck, man, that seems pretty easy. And you've got a system and you've got a process and you're like the liaison. He positioned himself as the guide in this entire thing. And all of a sudden, we're like, and we get this whole thing taken care of. When you do that for your customer, your hero, you look more valuable. So number five is then you get to call them to action. You got to call your customer, your hero, to action to buy your solution. Like, you're like, all right, these are the three steps that you need to do. And then number five is that, I'm like, dude, you got to move forward. Like, this is it. So this is the, you know, this is how our agreement works. It's a 6-month agreement, or it's a 12-month agreement, or it's like, you know, monthly installments or whatever it is. And you tell them to buy. You don't kind of like, hey, is this something that you want to move forward with? And like, no. In order for us to solve these problems that you're facing, as you know, these are the things that you're going through, and this is our plan how we can fix it. And this is what we've done for other people as well, too. And in order to solve all this, you need to take action. You need to make sure you make your, you know, your investment. And this is how we move forward. Boom. And you ask for the sale. You tell them to buy the solution. And that's how you handle these facility managers. Okay. And then you get these last two pieces where they're critical. All right. You got to tell them on how to avoid. Just basically tell them, like, listen. Now, we've had people, we've had the same conversation that we're having right now. And I tell them that they have to move forward, and this is how we move forward. And this is what they do wrong when they don't move forward with us. And this is what happens to their facilities. And you lay it out. Boom, boom, boom. And then you say, now the people that move forward with our IFM company, because we have this system set up, and we have these things all done, this is what it looks like whenever they are using our facility management company to manage their locations for any kind of, like, you know, preventative maintenance or emergency maintenance. And it looks like this, and it ends in success. And they've achieved some, like, dreams of, like, oh my gosh, I don't have to put out fires every day. Like, you guys are taking care of this. And so you got to paint that picture. You got to give them both contrasts. in every epic movie that has a hero with a problem that meets a guide, and that guide provides a solution or a plan, and that plan then and then that guide then calls the hero to action, but then also says, hey, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen, but if you do, this is what could happen. Yoda did that to Luke. If you don't try to defeat Darth Vader, this is what's going to happen. But if you do, this is what happens. And so same thing happens with Rey. And it happens with all these epic movies that have that whole like hero guide kind of like setup. And so understand that when you structure your business, like I just told you, in this exact same style, and you tell stories like this on your website, in your emails, on your sales pages, on your ads, on everything, and you take elements. You might be like, well, that's a lot of stuff to talk about. You can dub all this stuff down to like a couple sentences. It's very simple, okay? Like it can be done. Or you can take elements of it, not the whole thing, but you take elements of that story like that you're creating, that seven-step story process, and you use that as part of your marketing material as like, okay, I'm going to talk about this now. So an example is that you want to make yourself as the guide, or you want to make your company as the guide. You want to illustrate a great life will be, you know, with following this amazing plan that you've created, this system that really works. And then you also want to illustrate how horrible the pain is going to be if they don't move forward with the plan. Like, hey, this is what's going to happen. And the Rock's tequila brand, essentially, they focus on two messages, two simple ones: high quality product, share with people around the world. So when you're telling your story in your marketing, you want to make sure elements of this is being used, that you're positioning yourself as the guide and not the hero. Your customer is a hero. You illustrate great how great life can be whenever they're using your plan. And then you essentially illustrate the horrible things that's going to happen if they don't use you. We do this at RapMate all the time, and I do this very consciously. And I've even had colleagues say, hey, why is this negative? I was like, when was the last time you bought something and it made you feel like, you know, like, and everything that was being written about was like all, you know, sunshine and rainbows and butterflies and all this other stuff. I go, or do you buy something because you have a pain point? And then that pain point gets agitated, then it makes you want to take action on something else and something else and something else. And you're like, shit, yeah, you're right. Exactly. So you've got to find the pains, but you also got to find like, hey, but we can solve all that with our three-step process plan. And it's very simple. And that's all you do. When you do that, you are no longer competing with other facility management companies. You're competing on your own. You're competing on your story. Now people are buying based off of your story versus buying based off of like your price point or, you know, whether they like you or not. They're buying off of something that emotionally makes them want to move forward with you. That's what they're buying. They're not buying because you're cheaper. They're not buying because you cover North Dakota. They're buying the story that basically they position, like they're like, I can be that person. I can be the hero. They're buying that. Do that with your marketing, and you no longer compete with other people. You compete with yourself. And now it's easier to sell. Your sales team has something to pitch on. We do this endlessly with our marketing, okay? Like for us, we use vendors, like third-party installers, to install our stuff. But what we also know is those people who are great, they also shoot themselves in the foot because they're horrible at following up with customers and leads. They're horrible at pricing. They're horrible at customer experience. Not all of them. There's some that are amazing. They're great. But with an industry that has like over 18,000 installers probably all over the United States, I can comfortably argue that 80% of those people aren't legitimately running a very cohesive business operations. And so that gives this industry a bad rap, pun intended as well too. Okay. It gives the industry a bad rap. And so to avoid that bad rap, what what we did is like, we basically have one point of contact with us, and we'll design everything for you, and we'll take care of the process, and we'll schedule everything for you, and we'll do this, and we take all these pains, these things that our vendors are not very good at doing, and we get very good at doing it, and then we repackage it, and we say, and this is what it's going to be, and it's very competitive in our pricing. Now, we still charge at a premium price. It's a bit more expensive than others, but we're working on lowering our prices and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, people buy into the stories. And then whenever we go look at our reviews on Google, a lot of the times there's like two or three things that always people will always say. They're like, the process was super simple and easy, and I love that. How they were able to design things and just pick shit out of my head immediately, I love that. And I love how they're very communicative with me throughout the entire process. Like, these people weren't left in the dark. They love that there was like a system behind all of this. They love that their design, like what was in their head, came out and was like slapped on a car. And they're like, oh, this is amazing. And these are things that like our vendors didn't really, do a very good job doing that. And that's kind of why like most facility management companies are successful, because some of these vendors that are smaller, they can't figure out on how to handle these bigger accounts and give that customer service and do this and the other, like, but they can handle the more of the one-off kind of experience. And so understand that when you find things that they're facing and the problems that they're facing, and you come up with a solution, you can tell a story around that, position yourself as a guide, make your customer the hero, and tell them what it looks like whenever they don't use you and what it's going to look like when they do use you, and you give them a plan, and you call them to action, they make emotional buying decisions versus logical buying decisions. It's going to be like, Mr. CEO or Mrs. CEO, the reason we're spending 20% more for this company is because they are able to do this, this, and this. And they might be, and then CEO might be saying like, well, it's just more expensive. I know, but they have a system, and this is what they do, and this is how they guarantee it, and this is going to free up this kind of time. This is going to help my team do this, and it's going to give me this, and it's not going to make me have to put out fires anymore, and I can put my attention on this, and I can start building this out. And then all of a sudden, their boss is like, ah, I get it now. Totally worth it. And it's because you positioned your story, your brand, with something that is different. Okay? All right. Hope this was helpful. Let me know if this makes sense. If you have any questions, feel free to just ping me. Couple things I always ask in my podcast, or three things I always ask in my podcast. Number one, please give me a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Number two, please take the time to share this podcast with a colleague or somebody else, because this is how our podcast has been growing. And number three, please, like, if you have any questions, comments, shoot them over to me. Like, I'd love to hear, what you're enjoying, what podcasts you liked, what you're not liking, so that I can produce different stuff. And then also what kind of episodes you'd love to see in the future. Right. Thanks a lot. Have a great one.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking a listen to our Facility Management Marketing Podcast Secrets. This is your host, Javier Lozano Jr. One other ask I've got for you guys is to subscribe to our email list. You can go to bouldermediasolutions.com/email. And that way you can get updates on some marketing trends that I'm seeing, some strategies that I'm executing. And more importantly, I'll be actually launching some webinars and training that's going to help your company use marketing strategies to essentially grow your business. We'll be doing some training, offering some courses, that sort of stuff. So you can always unsubscribe to that email list. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is more for facility managers, facility management companies that want to grow their business by using marketing. All right, guys, thanks a lot and have a great one.